Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So first we see the apostle writes as someone who knows what trouble is to those also who know what trouble is. In these days of public health and welfare, there's a tendency for many to minimize their blessings or even to forget them, to grumble and to allow themselves to be crushed at the first problem. In any case, we've all known what it is to feel weighed down by what one has called the burden and mystery of this unintelligible world. Paul knew. In those early days, it often meant a great personal risk to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. Friends might desert and families disown the new Christian. Rome, despite its so-called Pax Romana, was often just the opposite of being peaceful, patient and placid. The empire was ruled and manned by despots and thugs. Contrary to the general drift of popular and often heavily biased documentary television programmes and modern myth, Rome was a sink of wickedness and corruption, a kennel of mad dogs. Both Rome and the spiritually blind-as-bat Jewish religious authorities imagined Christians to be a threat to national stability. Nothing could have been farther from the truth. Genuine Christ-centered believers, even with their faults, have always sought to be model citizens, excellent and honest workers, and ideal community leaders. Be that as it may, turning one's life over to Christ and wearing yoke-like in everyday life, his teaching and practice was the first century high-risk option. It is again, and in the United Kingdom this is becoming increasingly so. If we have never experienced opposition, perhaps it's because we're not living like Christians. I've heard that it's possible in these often remarkable and oh-so-clever days to grow a rose without a thorn. Not being a gardener, I don't know if it's true. I do know that if it is true, it can't be a natural rose. It's a messed about with rose. Just as there can be no natural rose without a thorn, so there can be no Christianity without a cross. As Christians, we are called to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. Paul doesn't go into details, but it's fair to suggest that if we diligently consider what's known about him from the New Testament, we'll come to the conclusion that he experienced at least as much heartache, pressure, and upset in his life as we do, possibly a lot more. And he did it without ever giving in. Secondly, whatever our personal suffering, the answer lies in dogged endurance. Other words and phrases that spring to mind are stamina, stickability, keeping on keeping on, and what I like to call sanctified stubbornness. Also, far from giving in and drowning beneath a sea of trouble, it means triumphing over difficulties in them, in contempt of them, and perhaps even because of them. Jesus writes to one church, "Hold fast till I come." Triumph is just try with added umph. We remember John Bunyan's, "He who would valiant be against all disaster, let them in constancy follow the master." It isn't always comfortable, but it is possible. Not welcome, perhaps, but wise nonetheless. Such an attitude describes the person who is able, with the Saviour's help, to defeat run-of-the-mill depression and to triumph gloriously over the temptation to self-pity. On this topic, the Bible is most encouraging. It reminds us, for example, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It's his being with us in tough times and through tough times that makes the Christian difference. And third, those who are the Lord's may enjoy the comfort of God. We are not left to face trials and problems alone, however our circumstances may appear. If in the past you have already closely studied or meditated our Bible text, you may have noticed that the words comfort, or to comfort, or consolation occur no fewer than 10 times. 10 times already. The word comfort in the New Testament always means a lot more than an arm on the shoulder, a pat on the back, and a quiet, "There, there, don't worry, it'll be all right." The comfort of God is a lot more and a lot other than soothing sympathy. If we dig to the root of these words, we come to the word fortis. And the word fortis is Latin for brave. The comfort God gives is the comfort of encouragement. In this context, it means being prodded forward in the will of God. Paul had learned a lesson some of us, it seems, never learn, and it's this. Our Saviour will never give us a vision of his plan for our lives without also giving us the power, the will, the courage, and the divine presence to work it out. His comfort enables us to cope with whatever his love allows the world, the flesh, or the devil to hurl in our direction. This is not merely good philosophy, it's also excellent Christianity. One result of all this is that we gain the personal knowledge and perhaps the moral right and ability to comfort and encourage others who are going through similar difficulties. This was Paul's experience, and it can be ours. The Lord, says Paul, in effect, brings us across someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for them just as he was there for us. We don't waste our sorrow. Rather, we are there for others because we too have known their particular tough time. Therefore, we are not likely to blabber useless theory we may have stumbled across in the latest shallow newspaper article or bandwagon book, Christian or otherwise. As we learn to face with courage and with holy stubbornness whatever comes our way, we each become, potentially, another of God's little helpers, whatever our age, and however long or short a time we've been on the Jesus road. This means that come what may, and whatever our past, as we learn to trust him in our present circumstances, we are preparing ourselves for future service. What a privilege!